in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO, Randolph County.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff, and you're listening to The People Speak. We're going to be talking this morning with Illinois Senator Paul Shimp. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. This is a little bit different. This is the first time I've called in rather than actually been sitting across the table from you in the studio. So I hope my voice doesn't sound too much different. I hope it sounds pretty much the same, but I'm glad to be on talking with you and your listeners.
I guess we've got several things we can talk about today. A lot going on in the world of the state and national government, actually.
Well, it is. I mean, we've got, the governor had a meltdown yesterday over the pandemic response. We've had the cancellation of the fall veto session, and we have the election outcome to talk about. So we do have plenty of things to discuss, and I would say the reason that I'm not in the studio with you is I do have a headache today. This is something that I would usually just power through, but with the pandemic being what it is, if you're under the weather and have any kind of symptom, you really need to be staying at home and not going out. So that's why everybody has to listen to me through the through the phone lines today, and I hope the voice sounds okay, but I'm looking forward to the discussion.
All right, Senator, you sound just fine, and I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and we will come back and talk with Senator Paul Shimp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:34. Welcome back again. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, we're talking with Illinois 58th District Senator Paul Shimp. And again, the elections were held last week. More impact, I guess, nationwide. Not a lot of changes in this area. Obviously, Terry Bryant was unopposed, so...
Yes, Terry Bryant will be your new state senator. I think January 11th is when she'll be sworn in. Until that time, I'm still the state senator. I plan on serving the remainder of my term. I don't know when I'll be able to get back up to Springfield. However, the fall veto session was recently canceled. Speaker Madigan at the beginning of the week announced that the House would be canceling, and then we just got official notification yesterday from Senate President Harmon that he was canceling the Senate veto session as well. So there is talk about potentially having some type of a lame duck session in early January, but that is all talk at this point. I wasn't happy at all that the veto session was canceled. The reason that was given for that was the COVID-19 numbers that were occurring in Springfield. But what you have to remember is I sit on the Joint Committee for Administrative Rulemaking, and JCAR has been meeting all along in person through the pandemic, even at the height of the pandemic back in the spring. We were still meeting in person. We wore masks and we're socially distanced. But the work of the legislature is important, and I think it can be done safely despite whatever the pandemic numbers are, and there are a lot of issues that desperately need legislative attention right now. So I think on this program before I've called it dereliction of duty that the legislature hasn't met, and I stand by that. We should be meeting for the fall veto section next week, and I'm very disappointed that it's been canceled.
Yeah, one issue with that I would have, and you mentioned before, is the governor continues to make these emergency declarations well beyond the 30 days without any input really from the House or the Senate.
Well, there's really, there's two issues that you bring up in that statement. First is the question of the legality of his orders beyond 30 days, and that is something that there was a lawsuit filed by Representative Bailey, back in the late spring. The original lawsuit was just him filing on his own personal behalf, and then he sought to expand it. It looks like he has lost that lawsuit at this point. The lawsuit was transferred out of Clay County to a judge in Springfield who has declined to enforce the previous orders that were issued by the Clay County judge. One of the Illinois appellate courts has just found for the administration on a different case that was looking at that same issue. But the thing that is frustrating, though, is this legal issue of whether or not the governor had authority beyond 30 days, which is ambiguous in the statute. The easy solution to clarify that would have been to have the General Assembly pass a bill. Certainly Governor Pritzker has enough Democratic votes in the General Assembly that he could do that. At least you would have that ambiguity cleared up, and you would have certain people that could be held accountable. If the public doesn't like that interpretation of the statute, they could hold legislators accountable. So really the abdication of the legislature's authority to be able to clear that up is very frustrating. It is just, it's unconscionable, the fact that the legislative leaders, Speaker Madigan and President Harmon, have really just decided to give Governor Pritzker blanket authority. And that even means when you have some ambiguity that's causing litigation. The other part of that is there desperately needs to be oversight on what's being done. I've on this program, I've talked about the misreporting of the positivity rate, how in the Metro East some of those positivity rate calculations were initially made. One of the reasons we need legislative oversight of the pandemic response is there has been some issues where it's just been gross incompetence on the part of the administration, right? Whether we're talking about the unemployment claims that are being processed, or should I say not processed, through the IDES, Illinois Department of Employment Surgery, or like when IDPH was calculating the Metro East positivity rate, but not including any of the numbers from the BJC healthcare system, which 30% of the people in the Metro East get their healthcare through. That was, those are instances of why we need to have the representatives of the people of Illinois, the representatives and the senators up there getting some answers on the record from the administration.
Yeah, you would think the governor would want that anyway, the backlash anyway, because people are saying, well, he's making all the decisions. This is the representative form of government. If he follows the procedures that are in place anyway, then that backlash would not be as severe.
Right, and the governor had a temper tantrum yesterday afternoon at his press conference. He really went off on local elected officials saying that they needed to get with the program, or that they were going to be responsible for getting people killed, talking about why some local officials are lukewarm about enforcing his pandemic dictates. And really, the governor needs to look in the mirror. I mean, leadership is a two-way street. If you want people to do what you ask them to do, the first thing you need to do is you need to practice what you preach. And the governor has been just terrible about this, frankly. I mean, when we had a stay-at-home order, it came to light that, that he and his family were traveling to and from his farm in Wisconsin, in spite of at the time that there was a stay-at-home order in place. And then most recently, on the Friday before the election at his pandemic press conference, Dr. Ezike said, look, this is serious. We all need to avoid crowds. She did not say avoid crowds unless you're wearing a mask. She did not say avoid crowds unless they're inside. She said avoid crowds, period. So what does the governor do? Immediately following the election, he goes to one of the parts of Chicago. There's a huge pro-Biden celebration, and he's walking around in the middle of this massive crowd. It's simple. You need to practice what you preach. I think the other thing that the governor can do to get people more inclined to follow what he's saying is just what you pointed out. Increase the transparency. Transparency is not saying, okay, I'm providing you with this data, you need to accept it. It's making, his IDPH bureaucrats available to answer questions on the record from the representatives of the people of Illinois. That's how you get transparency. That's achieved through legislative oversight. He should have been doing that from the get-go, but he hasn't been. So really, when people are not inclined to listen anymore, he really needs to look in the mirror and accept that he has nobody to blame but himself.
Exactly. And that's what I hear out on the street too, is people saying, he using the term actual dictating what we're going to do. And that's not how things typically are designed to work.
There are no good choices at this point. You are going to have whatever choice you make is going to have negative consequences. We're going to lose people regardless of what happens. And what the governor has failed to recognize is that, when you have the state shut down, there is a cost in terms of there is a social psychiatric cost to it. We've seen drug overdoses way up. We've seen suicides way up. We've seen people that haven't gone to a lot of the preventative medical appointments. It's not a case of, the governor likes to say that this is, I'm going to choose, it's a choice between lives and the economy. No, that's not what the choice is. The choice is between lives right now and lives in the future. And it really, when the governor did what he did yesterday, where he's, telling people that, you're getting people killed, and really ascribing, bad faith to people who disagree with him, that's not the actions of a leader. That's not how you get people to do what you want them to do. I mean, really, I think the governor needs to have hearings. He needs to reevaluate his entire pandemic strategy, because really, originally back in March, we were saying, okay, we're going to try to slow the spread of this disease down so that we have the medical capacity to handle it. And then somehow that morphed into, well, we're going to completely eradicate and stop the spread of this, which unfortunately is just not possible. The proof is in now. At the time I had said, Governor, we can stay shut down for 10 years and this is still going to be waiting for us. And, we stayed shut down and here the disease was waiting for us. So one has to ask, what did we accomplish with the extensive shutdowns through the spring and the beginning of the summer? And the answer is we really didn't accomplish anything. We just delayed this. What's going on now? We delayed this to the cold weather and the fall flu season, which is the worst time to have this. So the governor needs a dose of humility. He needs to stop throwing bombs, and he needs to be more transparent, listen, and most importantly, practice what he preaches.
Exactly. I mean, as you said, if you don't follow your own guidelines, then nobody else is going to follow them.
Right.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take our next break, and we will come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Shimp here on The People Speak this morning. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and again, today we're talking with Senator Paul Shimp. And Senator, we've been talking quite a bit about COVID and the things going on as far as the governor's mitigations and that, but there are other things going on as well. We just at an election.
So we had talked a little bit about the election results earlier, and the election results were a mixed bag. I mean, you had some very good Republican results here in Southern Illinois. You know, we have two new Republican state reps elected, Amy Ellick up in Madison County, and then David Freese here in Southwestern Illinois. We also got Justice David Overstreet elected to the Illinois Supreme Court. Really excited about that because he is just a fantastic judge. I mean, as a former prosecutor, the things that I wanted in a judge were I wanted somebody that was smart, that was going to be hardworking, that was going to be even keeled. Not somebody that's going to fly off the handle. Those qualities were things that Justice Overstreet has in spades. So he was a tremendous candidate, and he is going to be a tremendous new Supreme Court judge, and really be able to fill the shoes of Justice Carmeier. So that was a great result. And then obviously the other good result was the people of Illinois, Republican and Democrat alike. This was a landslide. The people of Illinois decisively said, no, we're not going to give the Illinois politicians more taxing power. So Governor Pritzker's tax hike amendment, went down decisively. I think it was the no vote was 55-45. So I'm happy with the Southern Illinois results. The national results, it looks as though, former Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden is ahead, in enough states to prevail in the presidential election. President Trump has filed some legal challenges. That is his right to do that. We let Vice President Gore try to challenge the results in 2000. So we need to let the system, the process play itself out on the presidential level. But I think everybody just needs to stay calm on that, and we're gonna be just fine. However that presidential election turns out.
I know on the national level, the Republicans picked up several seats in the House.
That was kind of the biggest surprise of the night. Everybody was, I think, expecting the Republicans to lose seats in the House, and as it stands right now, it looks like the Republicans, I think, are going to gain at least 10 seats, which, it's funny. Fox News, who had just a terrible night, election night, they destroyed their credibility. I remember very early in the evening, they were saying, we can forecast with certainty that Nancy Pelosi is going to gain seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, and that turned out to be flat out wrong. They haven't retracted that yet. The Republicans, it appears, well, right now the control of the U.S. Senate is depending on two runoff elections in Georgia. Georgia election law says that if the highest vote getter for the not for the president, it would have been very interesting if they had that apply to the president as well, but it doesn't. But just for the for the non-presidential elections, if your highest vote getter is not above 50%. There is a runoff election of the top two. So you had two U.S. Senate seats that were up in Georgia this year. It was kind of unusual because one was a vacancy appointment that was being filled. That's why there's two seats up. But the Republican candidates were ahead, but they were slightly under 50%. So we have two U.S. Senate seats that are still undecided in Georgia. They're going to have a runoff election. If the Democrats were to pick up both those seats, control of the Senate would flip to the Democrats because it would be a 50-50 tie, and whoever had the vice president would then be the tie-breaking vote. So control of the U.S. Senate has not been decided yet.
Right, exactly. So, well, Senator.
Well, the 2020 election is the gift that keeps on giving. It's not done thanks to the lawsuits, and then we'll have these recall elections, or not recall elections, these runoff elections in Georgia, which I don't think those are set to go until January. I could be wrong. I don't know exactly when those are going to go.
Okay. Well, Senator, it looks like we're out of time, but I do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
No, always enjoy the conversation, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm sorry we had the technical difficulties. I just hope everybody could hear me clearly over the phone lines when I was available to talk.
Everything sounded just fine.
You have a great day.
All right, you too. For the People Speak, I am Jeff. We'll talk to you again next time. Have a great day.